direct from the Los Angeles Underground. Open your ear holes for The Superiority Complex, a Guano production. Hello, all you homo superiors. I'm doing this thing now. I don't know why.
What was that?
Okay, like what it is I want it to be like, you know when like something gets really huge and like fans give themselves a nickname?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
So I in my dreams, people call themselves homo superiors because of, is that from X-Men?
Okay.
Like, you know, the mutants are the homo superiors. Right. So I'm imagining that the fans of the Superiority Complex are like, oh, we're homo superiors, like on the
just
message
out
board.
Out of nowhere, like you just said that, and I'm just looking at you like, what's going? And you pause too, so that was the worst thing right there. You're like, homos? I'm like, this is going bad immediately.
Just right from the start. I just did my review of Pacific Rim, and I just threw that out there. And it made me laugh. Like, it's just so dumb. Like, who would do that?
Well, how do you think people feel being like, I'm a comic comer?
That's
like,
true. Before we get to that, by the way, my guest today.
Hi, I'm the guest.
Matt the Rat, everybody.
MTR.
He is the founder, proprietor, president, CEO of Rat House Productions.
Yes, unfortunately, I am proud of
you. I am I'm a co-host on his podcast. Undercity Chaos.
You want me to do it?
Yeah, you have to do it. Undercity Chaos.
In the mind of the comic comer. Giggity, giggity, giggity.
So when you look that up, there's a link on my page. When you look up that, you get to hear Matt do that every week. And we break down comics. And Matt, for whatever reason, thought I would be a good co-host, even though I know nothing about comics.
Absolutely nothing. Because he's a Marvel fan. You know,
and his crew. Yeah, I guess being a Marvel fan would be like being an Angels fan and not knowing anything about baseball.
Be nice.
So,
what did Mike Trout ever do to you, okay?
Nothing. He was white and good looking. That's what he did.
He makes more than me.
And people like him. That's what he did to me. So Matt is quite the entrepreneur. Matt has actually, that's one of his podcasts.
One of my podcasts,
What are the other two? Tell us about them.
The other two are actually, one of them is kind of on hiatus, but
what?
We will be bringing it back soon. It's just between me and the co-host. I can't do it without her. It just doesn't work. It is called The Regrets, The Regretful Guide on Music and Bands. It's basically anything underground and mainstream. We do the news of mainstream artists, but we like to push on underground artists because more than anything, an artist to get out there and get their name heard is one of the hardest things. There's actually a saying, it's a lie gets halfway around the world before the truth has a chance to get its pants back on. That was actually by Winston Churchill. He said that.
Boom.
That drunk bastard. But in a nutshell, you know, that you could take both ways. Is bad news travels faster than good news.
Sure.
So we try to push on as much as we can with underground bands that you should check out, as well as some, you know, semi-mainstream bands or bands in, you know.
Any particular genre or?
No, that's the great. Oh, sorry about that. I bumped the mic.
That's okay.
The great thing is it's a free for all. So it's if you like indie, if you like country, if you like bluegrass, if you like techno, it doesn't matter. It's the umbrella of music.
Okay.
And then we also tackle how, like, specific subjects on, like, this week we're going to talk about making music because the reason it's called The Regrets is because that was my original band.
What did you play in The Regrets?
I was originally.
Did you laugh like that?
You'll see why. I was originally the guitarist. This band has been around since 2007. It broke up in 2012. I was originally the guitarist. Then our drummer sucked. So I kicked him out and I went on drums.
Yes.
And then we got a guitarist. And then from there our singer left, so then our bassist became our singer. Then from there our guitarist left and I found a drummer, so then I went back on guitar and our drummer came onto drums, and then the band dispersed from there.
What kind of music did you play?
It was hey there, little buddy. You want my keys?
The dog is attacking. We apologize again. The dog has interrupted every podcast we've ever done.
It's amazing. It's awesome. He's like a little gremlin.
He is. Had we not adopted him, I would have named him Gizmo. He was already adopted with the name Ricky. I call him Richard when he's in trouble.
The full name.
Yeah, Richard, go outside.
But, yeah, we I'm sorry, I completely forgot the question.
No, I asked you what style of music you played.
We played punk rock, but the great thing was, if people don't know, there are sub-genres of punk rock.
I'm acting like I'm saying that like I know what I'm talking about.
All right, so you got under. All right, perfect example is: would you consider Iggy and the Stooges punk rock?
Sure.
Okay, so that specific style is called 77 because it's the early pioneer. It's the simple stuff. It's very light, distorted, very almost slow tempoed compared to you have other punk bands which are like Bad Religion, which would be considered a new age punk. Or just punk rock in general, or Pennywise punk rock in general. Social Distortion, you could consider it punk rock, or you could consider that, you know, rockabilly or even psychobilly at times.
Kind of like the Cramps would be like
exactly.
Psychobilly, yeah.
Cramps are, you know, early age psychobilly, and then you have other ones that speed up the tempo, make it a lot faster. If you really wanted, you could describe Reverend Horton Heat as psychobilly because he goes so much faster, and technically it's rockabilly, but the great thing was when you listen to us, you could hear in each song there was a different influence. So to my description, I told my band and they were like, "Dude, that is the cockiest thing I've ever heard." I go, "I want to be the Doors of the punk rock world." And they're like, "What the hell does that even mean?" And I'm like,
"So you got rid of your bass player?"
Basically. The idea behind it was that we wanted to be poetic. So one of the songs is quick as possible. It goes, "I stuck around for an hour or three. I told the piper to please leave me in peace. But the merchant of life has bonded me to this tree. I beg to the reaper, please don't take me, please. Don't take my life. I need it bad. I feel the darkness taking over me. I pull my hair and I question why. I plead to the darkness to hear my sorrow cries. I want to flee. I want to run. Feels like frustration will always be among. Deep in my soul, all I want is out. But the monkey's toll truly has its shout. So sinister and so sick of you." Then eventually gets to the end, and the singer is screaming while I'm talking it, so it's double voice. It goes, "I think about it every effing day. How hard I wish this issue could just go away. Well, I've tried my best, but it seems too late. So there's nothing more to discuss or debate." And it ends with a long scream on debate. He just drags it out as long as possible. But that song, obviously, as you can tell, is not your typical punk rock lyrics.
Yeah, that's true.
That song is about me losing my friend to heroin, and not specifically she lost her life. I just lost her. Like, that was it. We stopped talking because literally one day I got fed up and I tried to get her off it. And she was like, "Look, this is me. This is a part of my life and I can't let it go. So I guess we're just going to have to part ways because this is a part of me."
Yeah.
So, to cope with it, I wrote that specific song, and it's called Sinister Being, Sinister Feelings. And unfortunately, later on down the road, I did lose her.
Ugh.
But that is the perfect example of how it was the Doors of the punk rock world. Yeah. We were trying to be very poetic or very double meaning with everything instead of just some straight forward stuff. You know, we wanted a different route. Not only that, but we always tried to change the sound of everything. Like, if we can make it sound different, we would. We would use different chords. We would do different chord progressions. We'd add blast beats. We'd add blues beats. We had a song called The Last Outlaw, which is about death, which is the last person you ever see before riding on to the other side. And it's actually it opens up with blues scales and eventually goes into blues riffs.
Now, where can we find – is there any place online where we can hear some of
the only place you can find it at the moment, we did have recordings, and this was back when MySpace was around. So you could try and find it on MySpace, myspace.com/ I think it's Regretfully Yours. Or you could go on to YouTube and look up our drummer's channel, which is also my co-host for the Regrets, a Regretful Guide on Music and Bands. It is Regretfully 77 Yours.
Regretfully 77 Yours. I'll put the link up on my page. I'm writing that down.
So you can check that out. If it says The Regrets, that's us. Some of them are really bad recordings. Some of them are really good recordings. We also have our other one, which is Flick Dicks, Loving and Hating Movies, as well as everything in between. It is just a simple movie review on what we saw, if we enjoyed it or not. We kind of spoil it just a little bit. We say some good parts, but we suggest if you should go see it or not. Not only that, top movies of the week and movies that are going to be coming out.
Who are your co-hosts on that?
Unfortunately,
right now?
My co-host is a stoner named Jared and a interestingly bearded
man-child. And
my
fellow Dodger fan, Hayden Blackmore. Now, the thing about that is we actually did an episode of Undercity. Now, the story behind Undercity is our friend of the show, Sue, who's been on the show.
Amazing.
She owns the comic book store. She runs it. She lets us record the podcast there. Jeez. So part of the deal is we named it Undercity because we recorded Undercity Comics.
We named the are we talking about the podcast?
Yeah, we're talking about the
Undercity with the one Chaos. Was meant because we get in random rants and arguments about who's better, who's not, good storylines, ones that aren't. Obviously, if you listen to the podcast, it usually starts with me going, no, and just going on this rant about how you're wrong. But somebody always ends up pulling me back. I don't know how. They're like, well, what about this? And I'm like, damn it, they got me.
Yeah,
but yeah, gotcha. I decided to, you know, hop on that. And that's why it's called Undercity Chaos. That's now, behind the name right
now. We record it there. So part of the deal is, we have to kind of promote the store.
Yes.
And so we have Renee, who's been on this show a lot. Renee's, I think I figured out one day, Renee's been on the show more than anybody else, oddly enough, because he's been on so many of the panel shows. I've never had like a sit down with Renee, but he appears in all these other shows. So
Renee would be, honestly, if you could just go talk about like specific movies, I think Renee would be beautiful.
He's
on
the
it.
Best. He's really good, and he's a knowledgeable kid. So we did. It's usually you. You are the host, Renee, and I, and Billy Famine, our co-host. Well, Billy was gone one day, so we brought in Hayden and Jared, your co-hosts for Flicktics. And we recorded a show that was so terrible. Sue told us we couldn't release it.
I remember that.
This
was for. I got to take off my glasses just for this one. This was for Undercity Chaos, and
we were told. Oh my God! I just realized something. I'll go back to it. I'll tell you later.
It was some random day where like everybody wasn't there. So we're like, all right, you know, who are we gonna get on? And we got
cobbled together a show.
Yeah, we got those two knuckleheads, and they are the knuckleheads. Like they're Tweedledee and Tweedledum. Like I love those guys to death. Do not get me wrong, but gosh, those guys are just some names I can't even describe. It's just ridiculous. Like hanging out with them, it's like they put a brain together. They can't function one without the other. It's like Pacific Rim, dude. One's the left side and one's the right
side. Oh my God, can you imagine them controlling a giant robot?
It'd just be clumsy.
It would just be going to every drive-thru in town. Like, pick up a McDonald's and mash it together with a Burger King and try to eat it.
What they would do is they would eventually become the Megatron of a epic meal time.
Oh, yeah.
Just made the ridiculous.
These guys like to just go to every fast food. That's all they do. Their whole quest is every day. They go to different fast food restaurants and combine menu items. So
if you haven't heard of it, there is such a thing as called the McGangbang.
Yeah.
The McGangbang is basically a is it a Big Mac?
It's a double cheeseburger, isn't it? Or what is it?
It's a Big Mac. No, you're right. It's a double cheeseburger, but instead of two patties, one of them is a chicken
patty. No, you put the two patties in, you order a chicken sandwich. You take the patty out of the chicken sandwich and put it in between the
It is?
Yeah. I think. You know what? Go back, you guys, because Sue talked about it in her episode. So I think Sue is on episode 8. Let me check my notes here. It's called Mayor of the Undercity. And let me see. Hold on. I'm going back.
See, we don't even do notes.
Episode 8. Episode 8. Yeah. Jeez. It's episode 8, which we recorded on March 15th.
What a little show off. Just want to throw that out there.
No, you know why? Because I started taking notes is because I have to have everything so when I go to record it or when I go to edit everything, I know who's where on the.
Right.
This is like a 16 gig card. I'm never going to run out of room on that.
That's what you think until the day you run out.
Until the day I run out, I'm like, dang it!
I've learned that at work. Every time I'm like, it's going to be easy. No,
it's
never
easy, dude. Nope. It's always those days where you're like, oh, this is going to be a breeze. Nope. I just noticed that you brought in.
That I'm not. No, not me. Not me.
What
not
is
me.
That? Whose is that?
This is my father's.
Okay. You need to take that and go let the dog drink out of it.
No, here. Hold on. I got an idea.
There you go. He brought in a USC mug into this house. Are you kidding me?
No, understand that. Even when I grabbed it, I grabbed it and I'm like, I don't want to use this. And I tried to use all the other thermoses, but they're all so damn skinny and wouldn't fit. Like, I have chicken noodle soup, so wouldn't fit it in. So I was like, dang it, I have to use the USC when I'm late. So.
You're automatically going to get stomach flu just for that, just drinking out of that.
For the record, I am a UCLA fan.
See, that's your only saving grace.
Unfortunately, we suck so much at football, but everything else were pretty good.
Hey, last year they did all right. They're looking better. They beat USC.
I thought we were doing good in baseball.
They did. They won the national title, man.
There you go. Orale, we.
Basketball, we'll see. All right. So when I asked you, I said, hey, bring your topic. You said, I want to talk about podcasting.
Obviously, podcasting.
So we're gonna break down the fourth.
Podcasting and hopefully just a little bit of comics.
We're going to Deadpool this episode because we're going to talk about the actual medium in which we exist.
Let's do this.
So let's talk. What did you want to? Let me ask you. What made you start wanting to do a podcast?
Kevin Smith.
Is that what it was?
Kevin Smith. Kevin Smith doing his podcasting. I'll break it down to you exactly how it happened. I unfortunately was fired from my job. I was let go for idiotic reasons. I know everybody says, I got fired for something stupid, but unfortunately I did.
Were you stealing boxes on your day off?
I was not stealing boxes on my day off. Basically,
you don't need to tell us why.
I would love to explain why, okay. Because it's stupid. All right. Yet I still got the fall for it. It's ridiculous.
All right, I want to hear this story.
I wrote down that I left early and whatnot, and they came back to me and they were like, hey, you know, you didn't fill out a time card for this. I was like, oh, okay. So I filled out my normal time. 3 o'clock I come in, 7 o'clock I leave. And they were like, oh, actually this date, we had your other one and you came in at 7:30 and you left at 1:30. I was like, it must've slipped my mind. It's been 2 weeks. My normal time I leave is 3 and normal time I come in is 7. But let me change it. And they go, no, don't worry about it. Just fill out that, you know, you made a mistake. And I was like, okay. So I wrote down, you know, a statement. I made a mistake. A month later, they're like, we're going to let you go because you were milking the clock. Even though I fully acknowledge that, like, what are you talking about? You guys told me not to fill this out. They're like, no, it's milking the clock. It's considered fraud.
How is it milking the clock if you left early, if you left at 1:30?
No, because I wrote down later on and they plugged it in that I would left at 3 and I came in at 7.
The thing is, you learned a valuable lesson, Matt. Don't be brown.
Don't be brown.
Don't be brown.
I'm not lazy.
Don't be.
No offense to anybody brown that's listening there, like that bastard.
Don't be brown. All right. So you're out of a job. You're out on your ass.
I'm out of my ass. Basically, had to go. I actually had to go to court to.
I remember you. I remember this court, and you actually won the case.
I won the case.
You won the case.
I got to get my unemployment. Yay!
The law was on your side.
Yes, fortunately,
Larry H. Parker came through.
But from there. I spent my time at home, you know,
moping.
Filling out as many job applications as I could, and just I did that all day, and I cleaned my house. I had my fiance at the time. We're no longer together. Not that big of a deal.
We don't need to get into this,
but
god dang story.
She went to work. My family went to work. So I'm there doing absolutely nothing. And randomly, I don't know how I came across it, but I was like, you know, oh, yeah, I have podcasts on my phone because I have this iPhone that I did not want to buy, but I was convinced by a significant other to buy a freaking iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, you know what? I'll look up podcasting. I was like, oh, yeah, Kevin Smith has a podcast. From there, I listened every day, just back and forth, every single one of them. And once he started Fat Man on Batman,
mm-hmm.
That's when I was like, I could do this.
Yeah, sure.
And the idea came behind it that I have my PA, which obviously since I'm in music, connected that, set up the microphones, all good to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then I needed a recording program, so I started researching recording programs. And I found what we still use for Rat House Productions, which is Boss Chalk.
Is it weird right now that you're not recording this on Boss Jack? I notice you keep looking down.
I have this automatic instinct when I have the mic in front of me. I'm like, do I need to check it? Do I need to check it? So Boss Jack is this amazing program. It's only it's $10. Really pricey for an app if you think about it.
But you know what? But look at how much you've been able to do with it.
Yes. It is one of the most amazing things that I've done, period. It has 12 cartridges that have audio bits on it. So you could upload intros, gunshots, whatever you need, and you could feed them live. Not only that, but when you're talking over the sound, it automatically drops it 10 to 20 decibels. So it's still in the background, but like you give us
applause break sometimes.
Yes, I do.
Can you give us one right now? Will it play on your phone speaker?
I don't know. Let's see.
No, it didn't.
Aw, dang it. Oh, well. But, you know, you record, and from there you can convert it into wave format, M4A.
Mm-hmm.
What's that other one? There's MP3.
Yeah.
And then you could drop it into your Dropbox. From there, you can.
I love that. I love that program. That is the one thing that I really don't care. I have an Android, and I love it. But when you have it all on board there, that's pretty awesome. I love that.
But the great thing is you have Audacity, which is the other program that even Kevin Smith uses.
Yeah, it's free too. That's a great thing about it.
It's free. It's very user friendly. If you use Audacity, you could technically pick up Pro Tools and be pretty savvy at it.
Yeah.
And if you don't know what Pro Tools is, Pro Tools is the leading recording program in the music industry. You, generally speaking, at least need to know Pro Tools in order to just record anything.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you're one up on anybody that even wants to start recording. Yeah. So that's a great thing right there. You know how to cut, paste. It does everything. You could add sound if you want. You could do whatever you want to.
Isn't that amazing, dude? Like, it's kind of a joke, you know, when, like, there was even a headline on The Onion where it was like, 250 million Americans need a podcast guest for next week. Oh, talking to a guy, he's like, yeah, my brother-in-law was going to come over and he watches Mad Men. So I figured we could talk about that, but now he's got something to do. So I don't know what I'm going to do.
It's true. Like, it sucks not having a guest. And we're actually going to have a guest on the upcoming Undercity Chaos. We're going to have my good friend Pedro. If you don't listen to Undercity Chaos, shame on you. We have the WonderCon edition, which I know somebody hasn't listened to yet.
Who's that?
I wonder.
I wonder, 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 wonder who.
When Mario's going to listen to my podcast.
Who won't listen to that episode. Now, wait. You know what? Let me write that down because
he does Speak Geek, which obviously is nothing but geek culture, and he does it via YouTube as well.
You know, that sounds a little like what we do over here, so I'm not sure I want to plug that. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But yeah, like, you know, that is a joke that everybody has a podcast, but it's so easy to do, man. It literally is so easy to really set yourself up. And yeah, I mean, there's a learning curve, but how quick were you just, you're cranking them out pretty quick, you know?
At the beginning, it wasn't the material. The material wasn't the hard thing to get. It was the quality.
Yeah.
If you listen to the very first Undercity Chaos, oh, it's trash. It is the trashiest quality. And it just gets worse throughout probably the first four or five. Actually, right when you get on.
You know, that's the magic I bring.
It was a little bit of the magic touch.
That's what I bring to the table.
And I described it. I was actually criticized recently for Undercity Chaos.
By who?
By, I'll say a friend. We'll go ahead and we'll just say a friend. But they were like, you're too all over the place. Like, I don't like it. You're too all over the place.
You know what? I don't disagree. But I think that's part of what I like about doing that podcast. Because what I do here is I bring you on, we talk about topics. And my, you know, as we're talking, I'm thinking, okay, where are we going to go next? And I try to keep it in a very linear, you know, I try to keep the format very linear. I like that we're all over the place on Undercity. It's a different energy.
To me, first off, it's more natural because that is specifically supposed to be your rant on what you believe and what you don't believe.
And also, I think your podcast takes the form of a more natural conversation that comic book nerds are going to have. And it's not going to be like, well, what do you have to say about it? Somebody's going to jump in and go, no, I disagree. Wrong. Batman. That's what they're going to say.
I might add, I saw the greatest Instagram thing in the world.
What was it?
It said, always be yourself. Unless you could be Batman. Always be Batman. I was like, yes.
Did I tell you the one about the guy? It was like all these people in like a board meeting. And the one guy on the end was dressed as Batman. And it's all, don't dress for the job you have. Dress for the job you want.
That is awesome. And I would definitely do it. But unfortunately, because if you don't know me, I'm short. I'm like 5'2 exactly.
Listen, there's a lot of short superheroes.
It's not that. I was just going to say, I'd have to be Robin. Like, I'd never be able to dress up as Batman.
But you could be Nightwing.
How could I be Nightwing? Nightwing's a full-fledged adult that obviously fits in the Batman costume.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. I'd have to be like Damian, the 10-year-old.
Damian Wayne, who's now... Have they brought him back yet?
They have not.
They killed him off in... what was it? Batman and...
It was Batman Incorporated number 8. Luckily, I was able to get a hand on that copy that's actually worth $40 now. Originally bought it $2.99.
I gave that away to somebody.
You didn't.
I did. I gave it to somebody.
Oh, you're such a fool.
Yeah, I'll tell you about it later.
Oh, gosh. All right, so...
you're such a fool.
They killed... Originally, Grant Morrison, the person that wrote... I believe it was called Batman and Son. No, it wasn't. It was... the story arc was called Batman... The Black Mirror.
Yeah, okay, so for people that
not
don't
the
know...
Black Mirror, it's not even the Black Mirror, it's the Black Glove.
And aren't caught up. So tell us who exactly... Damian was the last Robin. Tell us exactly who he is and how he came to be.
Yeah.
Because so not a lot of people
about,
know this.
He came about by Ra's al Ghul. If you do watch... If you've seen the Nolan trilogy, you do know who Ra's al Ghul is.
That would be Liam Neeson.
Yes.
Qui-Gon Jinn.
That's why Kevin Smith has, if you listen to Hollywood Babylon, they have a joke. It's Liam Neeson's is so big because he's been a Jedi. He's been Ra's al Ghul.
That's true.
He's been like the Taken guy. Like, he just plays this extreme badass.
That's true.
But Ra's al Ghul, tries to team up with Batman. They drug him, and he gets it on like Donkey Kong with his daughter, which is Talia al Ghul.
Ra's al Ghul's daughter.
Ra's al Ghul's daughter.
Batman Donkey Kong's it.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, make that clear.
Sorry about that. So from there, that you don't find out till later on, which is when Grant Morrison pulls in that story arc that says, you have a son. And it's from them. And he's raised by the League of Shadows. But he has to earn his privilege to be alongside his dad. And the first thing he says when he sees his dad, he goes, huh, I imagined you taller. So he's already like this cocky little brat that nobody likes. And everybody hates him originally throughout the whole DC universe. Billy talks about it when he first comes into the Teen Titans. Teen Titans is... kind of like Justice League, but like a smaller version of it.
Younger version.
No, it's small. Well, I guess because they had the Titans eventually, which had Cyborg.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is half robot, half man-ish. But he joins in and he's like, yeah, I'm Robin. So I lead it. And they're like, no, the other Robin led it. You're nobody. And they give him the hardest time and they try to get rid of him any chance they get.
Well, they finally did because...
Grant Morrison was originally supposed to kill him off the first four issues they had, but it was such a boom in the DC universe that they told him, no, like, let's keep him for a while. He's like, fine, I'll agree with you, but understand that his death is going to come either way. So once you get me to write Batman again,
I'm killing him.
And they're like, all right, fine, whatever. So they kept him for what? I want to say 2 to 4 years. Yeah. Dead off by the League of Shadows, which is his own mother. And his own mother was actually shed a tear. And they're like, is something wrong? She's like, no, nothing. I'm fine. And he brutally gets killed by this like crazy, like, Who the guy, the like some crazy sand raider looking guy?
Yeah.
And yeah, he ends up dying. But he dies in, you know.
He went out pretty heroic.
Yeah, he has arrows through his whole body and he's still running, you know, and then he had to get two swords through him in order to die. But yeah, it was just, it was brutal.
Okay. They're bringing him back. You know they're going to bring him back.
Lazarus Pit.
They're going to have to Lazarus Pit that kid. This is the type of riveting conversation you will find on Undercity Chaos.
Except it's all over the place. Someone will argue about something.
You'll have, and then.
But that's what I wanted with it, because every typical podcast is like, I'm very professional. I will stick to this subject. And it's like, no, I'd rather, and I know you don't listen, I'd rather Roger Lodge my podcast. If you don't know who Roger Lodge is, he does he does radio for ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
And he's at times he's talking on the subject, but he just gets like annoyed and eventually goes off into something else. But he always brings himself back, and that's the great thing about Undercity Chaos is we're on subject. We're just hitting other little subtitles.
Well, you know what, though? Most of the feedback I get is, hey, I listen, I like this, I like that. Anytime anybody complains, you're like, your shows go long, like you end up. But you know what? That's the thing is, like, I feel like I'm not trying to. The nice thing about podcasts is you don't have to have a set time. And my thinking is because you can leave a podcast and come back to it.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Just pause it and come back to it. I feel like, but then what I figured out is a lot of people are listening via my Facebook feed. The Facebook page for the Superiority Complex, that player, if they leave the page, they're hosed. They got to start all over again. So what I've now been doing is doing a break. Like I'll do like a break, like we're about to do one right now. And you're going to see how that works. But you have to kind of take into consideration what people.
Well, see, the thing with me is I could never do that short of a podcast. Obviously we do now. We have came for a long ways. We used to do 2-hour podcasts.
Yeah.
And now.
Now we're running at about 90 minutes right in there.
No, not at all. We're at an hour on the dot now.
Are we?
Our hour to 50 minutes to an hour.
It seems like 90 minutes.
Yeah, well, you know, it would be 90 minutes if somebody came on time.
Oh, yeah. What time were you here today?
We don't talk about that. And that's exactly what it is. They're just like trying to poke at each other. And it's horrible because, like, I mean, I'm not trying to be racist or anything, but, you know. My Mexican family, we all like to poke at each other for anything you do wrong. Mm-hmm. So when you have 4 Mexican men together.
I'm telling you, we should call that podcast Mex Men.
Just poke at each other the whole time.
I'm Wolverine.
You're Wolverine. I want to be Avengers versus X-Men, Cyclops.
Oh, there you go.
The jerk one. The jerk one. I want to be the jerk.
Oh, God, he's so obnoxious.
I liked him in it, though, because he was so, like, as much as he was so Hitler about it, he was so, like, this is for my people.
Yeah,
Just let me have it.
Yeah.
Like, you guys don't understand, man. There's only 200 of us.
That's true.
Was our last hope. If you don't know Avengers vs. X-Men, basically. Phoenix is coming back. Avengers are trying to kill the Phoenix, or the girl that's about to host the Phoenix.
No, they're not trying to kill her. They're just trying to keep her from becoming Phoenix.
No, originally they were trying to kill her. They address it.
Yeah, well, they weren't going to kill her. Captain America would have never let that go
down. The X-Men were trying to protect her, so it ends up being this all-out war between each other.
And the Avengers win.
Technically.
Of course they win, dude.
Oh, gosh.
I don't know. I've just never been even though I want my fans to call themselves Homo Superiors, I've never been the biggest X-Men fan. But you know what's funny? The X-Men didn't get huge until after I was already done. When I went through my initial comics phase out of the 80s, like, you know, when I got into high school, I stopped collecting. And, the 90s X-Men cartoon is where it really took off. And so when the movie came out, everybody's like, yeah, you know, the Beast is going to be in it. I'm like, who's the Beast? Like, who's this guy? Like, I didn't know any of those characters. I didn't know any of those guys.
So you had the original. You didn't even have, like, Iceman.
Yeah, we had, like, it was like Cyclops and Storm and Wolverine and all the, basically the guys from, I guess, from Days of Future Past, all the guys that were there. But I never paid that much attention to them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, let's take a real quick break.
potty break.
Potty break and get you can eat your little soupy loopy.
We'll go ahead and I do have a couple of things to actually say about podcasts.
Yeah, we're gonna break down that fourth wall. We're gonna Deadpool it when we come back. We will be right back after these messages. There are no messages.
Hey, you guys, tired of listening to lame-ass podcasts that you really don't care about? I know I am.
I know I am, too.
So why don't you head on over to Undercity Chaos in the mind of the comic-comer. Get it, go! Get your weekly news on not only comics, but comic book movies, comic book related, and hear about a bunch of people just ramble on about random things.
Random things? What do you mean? We talk about good things on our show.
Says who?
Says me.
Oh, who are you?
I'm big and nerdy. Who are you?
That is the other host and one of the other halves, because there's four, of Undercity Chaos in the mind of the comic comer. So go ahead and check us on out on Twitter at Rathaus, RATTHAUS. Not only that, but on our Instagram, Rathaus Productions, that's all one word, and our Facebook as well as YouTube page where you can find our podcast. But not only that, what else can you find on Rathaus Productions? Well, I guess I'm just going to have to tell you, you could also find Flick Dicks, Loving and Hating Movies, as well as everything in between. All about movies, new movies coming out, old movies, movies you haven't seen, movies you should see, and the top news and what's happening in the movie world. But not only that, Rathaus Production has only one more podcast, and it's going to be coming back shortly. It is The Regrets, the regretful guide on music and bands. You want to find out about new bands? You want to find out about new music? You want to hear about local shows? Go ahead and check out The Regrets, the regretful guide on music and bands. This was brought to you by Rathaus Production.
Hey guys, real quick. Are you going to do just a commercial, or are you doing an actual podcast within my podcast? That's all I want to know.
Wah, wah, wah.
Welcome back, all you homo superiors.
Can we actually talk about what just happened right now?
You were singing Sexual Healing in the break. Matt was eating his little soup.
I had soup with me.
His soupy loopy. And he said the warm liquid felt good on his throat, and then he started singing Sexual Healing by Marvin Gaye.
No, you lie, because you addressed something.
I didn't address anything.
You're a jerk. How dare you throw at me under the bus like
so
that?
So you wanted to talk about podcasts. So what
happened was, to get the idea of what I wanted, I honestly wanted comic book man status.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, they're very, would you ever... do this or do that. They're very deleted scenes from fanboys. Would you ever sleep with a Wookiee or an Ewok? Now, I'm not going to do this. That's a trick question. Oh, come on. Just answer. We all know you like them tall, dark, and hairy. If it makes you feel better, I would have went with the Ewoks. Oh, you would have done it with a whole bunch of Ewoks. You guys didn't say more than one. That's exactly what I didn't want. I didn't want, questions like that. I wanted, your opinion on certain things. And there are things that I believe strongly shouldn't be touched and should. Obviously, one of the things was Fables. Fables is an amazing comic that has been going on for Lord knows how many years. And it's basically about fable characters, Big Bad Wolf, Three Little Pigs, Snow White. The list goes on and on. Anybody you could think of, Mother Goose, even some people that you haven't heard of that they make specifically for the comic. And they're going to try and make a movie out of that. And it's just something you can't really touch because it's so big. And it's ongoing as well.
And they kind of ripped it off for Once Upon a Time. That show Once Upon a Time.
Yes.
Before.
Same thing with... don't they have another TV show just called Fables?
No. There's one called Grimm.
That's what it was.
It's based on the...
Yes. And, they're trying to remake The Crow, which The Crow, I don't think... should be touched at all. Brandon Lee, like I've said, if you have listened to Undercity Chaos, Brandon Lee, that was my childhood right there. For not my childhood, my teen years, was The Crow, that movie. I couldn't get enough of it. The way it was shot, the way it flowed, the music behind it. One of my favorite scenes is when Eric Draven, aka Brandon Lee. Yeah, because that's his other name. It's Eric Draven. Everybody knows him as Eric Draven in it. So he's sitting there and he's playing the guitar. on the rooftop, and I believe the amp is just like dangling off of.
You wanted to do that?
I didn't want to do that, but it was just like honestly, just close your eyes and picture the scene. Like seriously,
I'm closing my eyes.
It's barely sunlight coming up, and he's just chilling there, just playing the guitar, the most melodic notes that you could hear, and knowing that he's dead, but he's here to just try and make everything right.
I've got the scene in my head. It's raining.
Yes.
It's early morning, and he's standing out in front of her house, and he's got the boombox over his head.
No.
And he's playing Peter
no,
Gabriel.
No. Killer. Make this beautiful painting for you. Like, let's just throw orange on it. And hey. Not even the dark orange, the fluorescent one.
Listen, I love her. I gave her my heart. She gave me a pen. All right? It's my generation. Talking about my generation.
Oh, gosh.
All right.
So that was why I wanted to do Under City Cast the way it
well,
was.
Well, you know what's funny, though, is that, you know, some people would take you to task for it, but you're very passionate about the things you're passionate about. And the thing about you is, and this is not an insult, you don't have the breadth of knowledge of, like Renee and Billy as far as your as far as like your comic knowledge. Like you pretty much know Batman, you know some titles. But like Billy and Renee are really like encyclopedias. But what you bring is you really brought everybody together and you have the passion to get that going. And then we're done with the butt kissing portion right now. But but like no, as an outside observer to that, you know, I stepped into something that had already kind of existed, you know? And so from, you know, that was my initial observation is that, you know, Matt doesn't know what he's talking about, but he knows how to do it loud. And so that's really, I'm totally kidding.
Thanks, Andrew.
I'm totally
kidding. No, well, the great thing is between us four, first off with me, I'm very much the new age guy. I am the new comic comer, if you will. And for me, I can't read certain things now because now that I have dipped into the new 52, that is my golden standard. Mm-hmm. So for everybody else that has been collecting per this, they're like, oh my god, the new 52 is great, but here's other great storylines.
Yeah, new 52, for those of you who don't know, is a couple of years ago DC decided to reboot the entire universe.
Yes, they did.
And it's the new 52, meaning 52 titles,
which kind of
is a tall order, because like, you know, the guy from Marvel had a point. He kind of slammed him the other day. He said, you know, he said, Marvel now isn't going to be like the new 52 where you get rid of crap and put in more crap. And that was kind of strong words, but at the same time, it's true. You know what I mean? Like when you have that goal of having to, like, we have to have this certain amount. It's like, yeah, some of the stuff's not going to be that great of quality, you know?
Yeah.
I collected the entire run, all 7 issues of G.I. Combat, because that was a comic around when I was a kid. And the first 3 issues were okay, but it was like, how many – that's a real – I mean, that's a real, real, real narrow field to go after. People who want to see dinosaurs fighting soldiers, right? Look at you're already shaking your head.
Which is why I don't read Savage Wolverine.
Savage Wolverine, probably one of the greatest titles in Marvel now. Check it out. He's looking at me with
don't
such disdain.
Don't
Savage Wolverine, drawn by the great Frank Cho.
Not anymore.
No, not anymore. But they went, you know, that episode actually left the Savage Land. So don't roll your eyes. Don't roll your eyes. Did you see Pacific Rim yet?
No, I did not see
it. It's been out for a day and a half.
I'm sorry. I work at night.
So do I.
Yeah, but you don't work 4 to 2 a.m. 4 in the afternoon, 2 a.m.
Oh, so
why are we getting into this? People are going to be like, I know when to break into Matt the Rat's house and steal all his comics.
You don't have any comics.
I have.
You read them all digitally.
I do. I am not you. I'm sorry, my sir.
I'm trying to help you out.
With what?
So people won't get in and break in your house.
They're still going to do it. They're gonna be the underwear and sock gnome and steal my socks. Well, why can't I find the other sock?
They just want to be close to you, man.
They're under my bed as
just,
I sleep.
Just
I
like
breath.
Yeah. Just like me, they want to be close to you.
Oh god. Get out of here. But the reason I chose the subject idea, obviously it's music, comics, and movies. Those are the three things I'm really passionate about. Something that I could never stop talking about because there's always new things in each of them. I did at one point want to start a political one because I am very politically driven.
Bad news there.
It is, but it isn't.
Well, you know what the problem with doing a political podcast is? That's well covered by every
corrupted, like, people that don't get the whole story straight, and they make it very newsy, which is why when you watch ABC, you're like, there's such horrible things going on. No, it's the fact that they make it sound horrible.
Well, there's tons of political podcasts. I mean, there's tons of the geek podcasts, too, but I think with the geek podcast, though, I think that
sometimes they're too on it. You don't want to be too. You don't want to be the Billy of your podcast. Now, Billy, we love him to death.
Billy's my guy. Billy, I'm sitting here next to a stack of Superman All Star Supermans lent to me by Billy from his very own. Not the trade, mind you. Lend me his singles. Listen, still in the plastic,
which is very hard to do because I lent out.
Yeah.
Two of my graphic novels. I haven't even gotten back yet.
When he lent the singles to me, I was like, oh, my God. Are you sure you want to lend these to me? I have a kid at home and a dog. He's like, no, borrow them. I was like, oh, man, I got to.
But Billy just – he's too on it. He's very – which is great for the podcast, but we're always able to pull him away from it, and I'm usually the one that gets annoyed with it. Perfect example is when he does his whole Superboy Prime.
Well,
I'll let your host explain exactly what goes okay, on behind that comment.
Here's why.
I hate that comment.
Here's why. I almost called you Danny because you reminded me of my friend Danny. Here's why Matt the Rat hates Superboy Prime. One day when Matt was going on and on about how much a better DC is than Marvel.
I lost the war.
You lost the war because Billy.
I won several battles, but I lost the
Billy
war.
Billy brought up the point that at one point in the DC universe, in order, things were so out of control as far as writing was concerned and continuity that they had to figure out a way to reset everything. It's in the right there. So what they did was they had Superboy Prime punch the universe so hard that it set everything back to it reset reality. Isn't that what happened?
Yeah. He's turning red right now.
Your face is so good. So anytime.
You listen to that podcast, I cut it right then and there. Once he's like, yeah, man, you could just be like Superboy Prime, you know, and you know, he got upset and, He punched reality, and he broke it, and he reset it. All right, you guys, we're going to end this week's podcast. Like, it literally ended on that note. Like, you could hear it in my voice. Because you could tell when I talk, like, you can read me when I talk when you listen to the podcast. And it was just...
But ever since then, I have not been able to let Matt the Rat live it down. So anytime he wants to get on me about how Marvel sucks, I just go, hey, maybe they should have, somebody punch the universe back into existence. And then he makes the face he's making now, which I wish you could see. And then we just end the conversation.
You know what? Follow Rat House Productions on Instagram, which is Rat House Productions.
I'm going to give you a chance Instagram. To plug your little...
Well, I'm just saying we could take a picture of it right now and you could know the look. The world...
I'm going to take a picture of it right now.
But he has to mention Superboy.
So, here's Superboy Prime punching the universe into existence.
Annoyed.
I want you to send that to me so that I can use that as my...
just simply annoyed.
On the Facebook page. But, you know, that's what you need a guy like Billy. You need a guy who's on point and who can... You do need a guy like that.
So Billy is the knowledgeable one of the podcast.
The thing is that Billy and Renee are two sides of the same coin.
Yes.
Where Renee is the more, Renee is helpful to you. I love Billy, but Billy a lot of times just brings stuff up and you're trying to make the opposite point.
I hate that you find it so funny. It's so, at times I hate that he's on the podcast, but without
Billy, in case you're listening, I love you, man.
But without him, you know, without all of us, the podcast just doesn't fit.
You need him there, though, because you need somebody like that to, like, drive you insane. That makes for a good dynamic, though. And I hope you guys all take a if you guys like this podcast, listen to Undercity Chaos. And it is chaotic. It's not – it's a freaking free-for-all.
Yes, it is. It's a free-for-all brawl. If you ever want to come in, we are at Undercity Comics over here in Whittier. We do record between 12:30 and 2 o'clock.
On Wednesdays.
On Wednesdays. So just come on in. That's Comic Book Wednesday. So when you pick up your new comic, or if you just want to get into comics, you come on down. Sorry to do the plugins right now, but
no,
we are going to start Rat House Production Twitter, which we're at Rat House. That's RATTHAUS.
Are you ending my show early?
No, I'm not. But I'm just saying. We're going to be doing now live tweets throughout the show.
Who's doing that?
I will be in control of that. Not only that, but...
You're already distracted as it is.
But not only that, but we will have... Starting soon, we will be having contests.
What kind of contests?
Contests to win free stuff.
What kind of free stuff?
What kind of free stuff? Graphic novels, upcoming new comics that are going to be coming out.
What kind of graphic novels?
Well, let's see. We're going to have to think about it. I especially want to put Scarlet Spider, some Spider-Man, some Avengers, some X-Men.
Well, great, because I have a whole shelf full of trades I need to get rid of.
Oh, you just want to sell your old one?
I'm just going to give them away.
Do it.
Bring some in. Let me ask
you. But there will be new ones as well. So it won't be, you know, old titles as well.
You can plug your show as much as you want, man. There's no – I love it, dude. Please.
I'm just saying we're at Rat House Productions, so go ahead and follow us on there. There's some funny stuff on there. Actually, earlier today when I was walking out of my house, I had my mug, and I couldn't screw on the cap, and I'm like, dang it, I can't screw it on. My mom's like, I guess you suck at screwing.
Whoa.
And I looked at her, and I was like, are you kidding? I had to put it on Twitter.
By the way, your mom came by to do a podcast with her. She came by to watch, and then we dragged her into it. That is the nicest I've ever seen you host. So I want you to just take this advice. You know, from me, and it's not my place to tell you how to do things on your show. I want you to host that show like your mom is there every week.
I cannot do that.
That was so nice. It was a breath of fresh air. You're respectful. You're respectful.
Am I not respectful, Bert?
No! No!
That would have been extremely respectful. I'm in your house.
You know what's great?
I haven't thrown anything at your wall.
You know what's great, though, is I love to go in there and just, like, I'm the opposite I am on here. I just go on your podcast and screw
up. You're obnoxious.
I am so obnoxious.
See, so that's the thing. And it's funny because the way the table is set up, Renee,
I'm right next to Matt.
The two brains are next to each other and the two comedians are next to each other. So it's almost this clash between
us.
We
need to move. Billy and I need to flip.
No, not at all, because that's the great thing is that it's almost this Voldemort and Harry Potter kind of thing going on, you know. They're both equally as powerful, at least at one moment, and it's just it's amazing, man.
Renee is really the glue. I feel like he keeps it together. Like he'll always bring us back.
Renee is our who's it from Howard Stern? The girl,
Robin.
Renee is our Robin.
She's Robin.
Renee is our Robin.
He's Robin to your Batman.
And unfortunately, you are Howard Stern.
I'm more like the
Billy is stuttering Stanley.
To think of myself as more of like the Jason Todd.
The Jason Todd. We're going into Batman stuff now.
I'm the Jason Todd. Wait, who dies?
First time, Jason Todd.
Oh, F that. I'm not Jason Todd. I'm the third one. What's the?
You mean
Drake? Tim Drake. What happened to Tim Drake? Who did he become?
Red Robin.
That's a dumb name.
No, it's not. Have you seen Red Robin's outfit and the way he works and everything? It's amazing. Red Robin is...
Red Robin.
Yum.
See, that's what I want to do. See? It's automatic. You couldn't even help yourself.
Yes.
See?
That's
amazing. See, I was like Pavlovian. I just said it.
This is the great thing about podcasting is you can sit here, joke around. We're not trying. It is in works. We're going to be doing... we don't have a a title for it, but we do have the slogan for it, and it's called "Pour Me Another, My Brother."
Oh yeah, we're ostensibly what Matt and I want to do is we want to combine forces and do a we're uniting under the banner
Rebel Scum Productions.
Thank you.
I don't think it should be productions. I think it should be entertainment.
Rebel Scum Entertainment.
Yes.
We were trying to figure out a title, and that came to me because I saw a guy with a shirt that said Rebel something, and I thought it said Rebel Scum, and it didn't, but I was like, that's your, because we've been trying to figure out
to
call it. So we're going to ostensibly, we're going to be doing some podcasting together under the same title. You know, we're going to keep our own. He's going to keep his rat house because he's got three podcasts going, and I have some other ideas I want to do in our mind. But we have one called Pour Me Another, My Brother. He wants to call it that. I want to call it the hair of the dog.
I want that as the slogan. And so we have Undercity Chaos in the Mind of the Comic Comer, the slogan.
Yeah.
So I want the slogan to be Pour Me Another,
So basically
my brother.
What this guy wants to do is just drink and then review.
Yes, but not drink to the point where I'm drunk. Honestly, there are so many great beers, alcohol, wine. There's so many that people don't touch because, you know, Ludacris didn't tell me to drink this, or Lil Wayne didn't tell me to drink that, so I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
Perfect example is one of the most beautiful tequilas I have ever had, and it's relatively cheap.
Don Julio, 1942.
No. Avion.
What's that?
Now, some people that are listening to your show, I'm sure they know, have watched Entourage.
Yes.
Tequila that was in the last two seasons of Entourage is actually made. They made it into a real tequila.
Is it good?
It is the best tequila I've ever had. This, and you have to understand, with me and tequila, I don't ice it. I don't use salt, and I don't use a lime or lemon. I take it the way it is. And if you can't drink a tequila like that, you shouldn't be drinking it at all.
So is this an añejo, a reposado? What is it?
They have all three.
Which one do you recommend?
Blanco. It is so good fresh, or silver. It would be Avión Silver. It is so good fresh, which is really hard to find, is a good, clean, fresh tequila. Most people like it aged, and which I respect that, and it does give it a very distinct flavor. But the cleanliness of the Blanco, it's like you could do a double shot, and people would get disgusted when I take shots because I don't throw it back.
No, you know what?
I sip it on down slowly but surely.
That's the thing about good, especially tequila, and I tell people this all the time. When you're dealing with tequila, tequila is like, especially with tequila, you can tell when you're drinking crappy tequila right away.
Yes.
Can't
tell with vodka because it all tastes the same.
Exactly. Well, you can with vodka. I mean, you know your higher end vodkas. The thing with vodka is, though, if you the higher end, the better the distillation, the less likelihood of getting a hangover is really where you're not going to know you drank crappy vodka till the next day. Really?
Like, wait, I'm okay.
And most people don't do straight vodka unless you're Russian. But
in North country,
what?
TV doesn't watch.
Please to be passing me the vodka. But you can do tequila like that straight. And if it's good, you're not going to get any backbite. You're not going to have any bitterness on the end, on the back end. It's going to go down, and you can do it smooth.
Yes. Unfortunately, with that same tequila, though, I went to the river, and I brought the whole bottle with me.
First, when you said you went to the river, I thought that was some kind of weird euphemism that the kids use that I don't know about yet.
I went
like
to the
YOLO?
River. No. And it's not YOLO. If you believe in God, it's YOLT. You only live twice.
You only live twice. James Bond, baby. You only live twice.
And this is why you don't have a
single yada yada dee.
Yeah, I went to the river and I tried to handle the whole bottle to myself.
You know, there's more than one river, right?
Everyone knows the river is Havasu. Come on now.
First of all, I didn't know you were white, but you are an Angels fan, so of course you're gonna go to.
Jeez.
You're an Angels fan, so of course you're gonna go to Havasu.
Jeez.
How was Glamis for Thanksgiving?
Shush. You're just jealous. It's pure jealousy right there.
Actually, my wife and I did go to the river. We have a friend who has a boat, and we went to the river with him once. It was fan. It went to Havasu. It was fantastic.
Yes. But I wanted to, you know, there's just certain things that you drink. And even with me, I have a high tolerance now. I just, when I drink beer, I can't drink Budweiser. I have to drink something strong, something bitter and citrusy. So IPAs, dark ales, totally up my alley.
Yeah. See, I'm the opposite. I go light Mexican. I don't want to feel any heaviness when I drink beer.
See, well then, like, if I can meet you in a medium, it would most likely be, have you ever had Dos Equis Amber?
Yes.
Now, Dos Equis Amber is a very beautiful combination of a beer that is supposed to be light, but they made it dark. But they made it dark enough that you could still taste a lightness to it, mm-hmm. but you still have that dark richness of it.
Abita Brewing Company from Abita Springs, Louisiana, has a beer called Turbo Dog. And Turbo Dog is very deceptive because it looks like a Guinness. It looks exactly like a Guinness. But when you drink it, it's got the properties of like a lager on it. So it kind of throws you off. Because you're looking at it and you go, this is going to – you know, Guinness has that
–
yeah, Guinness has that weird finish at the end where it kind of like comes back at you.
It's because of the fish in it.
Is that what it is?
There's
fish in Guinness?
Something about fish. That's what I heard.
I know the fish make love in water.
I don't know about
that. And water's used in your beer. So –
brown chicken.
You know what's great? We just did our first episode of Hair of the Dog. Did you see that? It was a podcast within a podcast. See that? That's the kind of example. That's what we're going to bring to the table.
Yeah, well, that's.
I did not mean to turn this episode into a shameless plug for ourselves. But
no,
dang
it's okay.
It.
That's what the podcast. That's basically what I want it to be about. Is just every episode will be specifically concentrated on a specific drink.
So yeah, what we're gonna try to do is we're gonna try to come up with some ideas to do podcasts together. Cause
yeah, so if you guys ever want any drinks that hey you're too scared to try it or something that or hey you want to try something new, perfect example will be The Prisoner. It is a beautiful blended wine that a lot of people do not know about. It's kind of pricey. I think it's like $30 to $40. But when you drink it, it has this great, beautiful mix behind it. Not only that, the story behind it is great. This guy was in prison, and he used to brew stuff in prison. Got out, couldn't get a job. Finally, just with the little bit of money he had, bought the littlest place in Napa and started brewing The Prisoner, and it's won several awards. And he's actually brews other wines.
I wonder – there's a TV show called The Prisoner. I wonder.
Did I say mix or blended?
It's a blend?
Know. Yes, it's a blend. Sorry.
It's a blend. What kind of?
I forgot specifically.
I have a friend who's a Somalia. I'm going to bring her on every time we talk wine. She'd be a good person to talk wine with. She's a level one Somalia.
And
she
now knows, we have like a literally a audio note to remind us
to remind ourselves.
To bring her back.
I don't listen to this stuff. So real quick before we, because I want to get to your recommendations, but you said something earlier. Tell us about how you, being the gorilla podcaster that you are, tell us about how you got those interviews at WonderCon. You got interviews with a couple of really some heavy hitting DC writers, and I want you to.
All right. Well, do you want me to concentrate on the writers or the whole podcast in general?
Well, tell us how you got who you spoke to. Give us who you spoke. So, who were the writers you spoke to?
The two huge writers that I spoke to were none other than Scott Liddell. If you don't know who that is, he writes Superman, he writes Teen Titans, and he writes Red Hood. Not only that, but he is now writing Action Comic, and he has written Superboy as well.
Okay, and then who else did you interview?
I also interviewed Kyle Higgins, the person that writes Nightwing.
So, how did you get to talk to these guys? You're WonderCon.
So I'm at WonderCon, and
you're just there as a regular,
guest,
as a regular visitor to WonderCon.
So nobody was in front of Scott Liddell. It was the end of his signing time. There was probably about 10 minutes, and I'm like, you know what? Like, I'm gonna get something signed. So I got something signed, and I go, you know what? Maybe he'll do a podcast. Of course, I have my handy-dandy Boss Jock on me, and you do not need to plug in a mic to record. So I went ahead and I asked him, I go, hey, you know, do you mind if I go ahead and I interview you? He's like, what do you mean? And I go, it's for podcasts. Like, I have a podcast that has to do with comics. And he's like, yeah, sure. Pull it out. Let's go. He's very Tony Starkish. Very Tony Starkish.
That's awesome.
I was like, all right. So then I started recording with him. And if you hear it, there's nothing but humor behind it.
Yeah.
I go, how did you get the idea for Red Hood and the Outlaws and writing it? He's like, oh, well, you know, I usually go on to message boards and forums and listen to, you know, really bad podcasters. And I'm and he's like, no, I'm totally joking with you. Like, he is very on point with everything. Very sarcastic, but an amazing, joyful man.
That's awesome.
And I also got to see him a week per that to at Fat Collectibles where when they did the Death of the Family signing.
We don't talk about other comic stores on there.
I had to, though.
Okay, go ahead.
But so we went ahead.
I don't know if Sue listens, but sorry, Sue.
I went ahead and I did the interview, and it was amazing. And I was like, "Hey, dude, I really appreciate that." He's like, "Yeah, anytime. Just whenever you see me, just wave me down." And I'm like, "All right, thank you." So I end up I'm like trying to somehow weasel my way into getting one with Kyle Higgins and Scott Snyder. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the Scott Snyder one did not fall through. But I'm like, hey, you know, I really want to try to get an interview with Scott Snyder. Who do I talk to? And they're like, oh, well, you talk to the publicist over here. And I went over there. I went over to this lady. And I go, hey, you know, my name's Matt. I do podcasting. I was wondering if I could go ahead and I could get a couple interviews in. And she's like, yeah, who do you want? I'm like, well, I just did one with Scott Liddell right now. She's like, wait a minute. You did one with Scott Liddell? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, why would you do that? And I was like, because I wanted to interview him. She's like, well, you have to go through me. And I'm like, well, why do I have to go through you? And she's like, she just looks at me with this blank stare. Because you have to go through me. And I was like, okay, I'm really sorry. Like, I didn't know that was the way. She's like, that's not cool. You know that? And I'm like, really? I didn't know this is my first time doing it at an actual convention. Totally BSing. I've never interviewed anybody like that. But I'm like, this is my first time doing an actual convention. So, you know, I don't know how this goes. And she's like, well, you have to make sure to go through me. I'm like, all right, well, I really do apologize. I swear I didn't know. I wasn't trying to step on your grounds or anything. But is there any way to get an interview with Kyle Higgins or Scott Snyder? And she's like, yeah, well, I could get you in on Kyle Higgins and we'll see about Scott Snyder. I have to see his schedule. I was like, okay, that's fine. So I ended up doing the interview with Kyle Higgins. I even got to sit in the little DC panel they had.
Whoa!
So they tied us all off. But of course, there's no one there to take a picture of this because nobody wanted to go with me to WonderCon. Oh. So I'm like, dang it! But I did the interview and it was trash. It was trash.
Why?
He's just really bad. His mind. I could tell his mind was elsewhere. He didn't want to do it. He didn't really care.
Yeah, well, you know, that happens.
Which is one reason I wanted to jump off of Nightwing. I almost quit Nightwing.
Well, you know what's funny? I have a friend that came on, my friend Phil, who was on an episode. Let me check my notes here.
All good. I'll wait.
Just kidding. I don't think I have notes for Phil. But Phil was on, like, episode 3 or 4. Phil talked about going to Comic-Con, my friend Philly, because he's a huge animation guy. And he loves Simpsons. And he stayed in line for like all afternoon to meet Matt Groening. He had nothing to sign. And what he did was he got something that they gave him that day, like some of the swag in the bag. And he goes to like have Matt Groening sign it. And Matt Groening's like, what's this? He's like, oh, I wanted you to sign it. And Matt Groening was just like, and like just signed it and was like, thanks. Like, basically made my friend feel like a jerk for, like, not having anything for him to, because he didn't buy something for him to sign.
Yeah.
It's like, how do you do that? The guy spent, like, all day in line to come, like, talk to you, you know?
And that's the sad thing is that sometimes, you know, for whatever reason, they have a bad day, whatever. But the great and beautiful thing that I wasn't able to address about that podcast was that I ran into Scott Snyder, like, 5 times that day. I didn't get to interview him. But I got to talk to him on a personal level. So
oh, didn't you tell me you saw him, like, outside, and then he was like...
Yeah, and he was with Jim Lee. I might add, both short people. I was like, I could totally be in comics. I'm my people. Totally be the Hobbit and, like, just, like, join him, dude, and go on some crazy adventure to WonderCon and Comic-Con. But they're both really short. But, yeah, I saw him. I'm walking out of WonderCon, and Jim Lee and Scott Snyder... Just talking.
Just chilling.
Yeah, I'm like, hey, Scott, I actually wanted to talk to you real quick. And Jim Lee's like, all right, I got to go. And he takes off like a dick. But later on, I did hear on Fat Man on Batman that Jim Lee, like, is very antisocial. Like, he's always been antisocial. He doesn't even like doing interviews.
Yeah.
So he's like, that's basically why he draws. He's very much in his own world doing his own thing. Just respectable, but I mean, I wish there was a sign on his forehead that said antisocial. Yeah. So I'm like, all right, this makes a lot more sense. Because at first I'm just like, dick.
Yeah.
So I go, hey, like, I wanted to talk to you real quick. He's like, oh, I got to go right now, dude. I was like, it's cool. Like, I understand you're busy, but I just really want to tell you this. And he's like, well, what's up? I go, look, since you're here and I know that, you know, used to do stuff over at, like, Disney World, and you really like stuff like this, you should go to Trader Sam's.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, what's that? Oh, it's a bar in the hotel area of Disneyland, since you're right across the street from it and you're staying here at the Hilton. I go over there and order whatever drinks you want. Take your son with you. They have really good food there. But the room inside actually goes with whatever drink you order. So if you order a specific drink, like the lava drink, lava will start flowing. And he's like, really? I go, yeah, you got to check it out, because that's one thing that a lot of people miss when they come here, is that little thing. And that little thing makes your experience 20 times better. And he's like, thanks, man. I really appreciate it. He's like, you should get in contact with me. I was like, okay. And he's like, my email is X. And I was like, all right. And I've emailed him twice and have received nothing. But at least he was nice enough to be like, this is my email.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, with, like, it was a Gmail. So, you know, with Gmail, it'll send it back and say, this is invalid. So I know it got sent, but yeah.
Well,
at least he was nice enough to be like, I'm sure the guy has. Email.
Yeah. But I mean, that was cool. And you had a nice little moment with him. And he saw that you weren't just some stalkerish guy, you know, trying
to. Even though I did see him like 5 freaking times, and he was just like, gosh, this guy again.
I mean, you're a handsome dude.
Thank you. I try.
All right. Let's get on to, I told you last week when you're like, is there anything I need to prep? I said, no, just bring your awesome self down here.
Before that, let's conclude this. Podcasting is about just love what you, put love behind what you're talking about.
See, I hate doing the show, man. I have to drag myself. I'm kidding.
It's your own house, dude. Like, I have to drag myself to my dinner table. Like, there's issues behind that.
I know, right? I have.
But it's just what you love and what you want to talk about, or what you find is interesting. Anybody could do a podcast. If you listen to Kevin Smith, that's all he talks about. That's all he wants now, is this huge nation of podcasting, which I agree, which is why I started Rat House Production, because I knew that not only did I have something to say, other people did. So it's not only for me. If you want to jump in on it, I would love to have a show you're hosting. I don't even need to be on it. Send me the audio. I'll fix everything up. If it's good, if I like it, of course, like, not to be mean, I'm not going to put anything I don't like. Obviously, if I don't like it, what makes me think other people are going to like it? It's not about getting big. It's about just putting it out there, having fun, and hopefully other people agree.
Yeah, you know, you're right, because when I started doing this, I had to think to myself, well, what are my goals? And I just thought, I want to do a show that I would – this was really influenced by me having these late-night phone conversations with friends of mine, that I just think we talk about the weirdest stuff. And what I try to do is I try to put on people that I think – like, I know a lot of people, you know, people I work with, and then I have people I hang out with, and then people from here and people from there. And it's like, through this podcast now, those people kind of know each other, that whereas they may have never met before. But like, one person was like, hey, your friend so-and-so is really cool. And I was like, yeah, I used to work with that guy and he was on my podcast. And now it's like, You know what I mean? It's, yeah. It's really, really cool. So I didn't start this with the intention of I'm going to be huge and I'm going to have a huge podcast. And like, you know, if anyone that goes into podcasting with that idea and you're do something else, because that's not what's going to happen. I mean, there are people that make it big, but people are like, oh, look at Adam Carolla. His podcast is huge. Yeah, that's because he had 2 million people he brought with him from the radio
exactly.
when they fired him.
See, we're like plankton. Of like the podcast,
world. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it doesn't matter.
No, there's guys on there that have huge podcasts. There's podcasts like This American Life and podcasts that I'm a huge fan of, like Never Not Funny and Rock Solid, hosted by a person I can now consider like a friend of mine, Pat Francis. But I actually met him because I was a fan of another podcast he was on, Never Not Funny, and it was another thing where he gave out his personal email address. I contacted him and he contacted me back, and we've since gone to a couple of concerts and stuff. But like now I can, like, he'll email me out of the blue about stuff. He's a huge Batman fan.
Yes.
Whether or not he listens to this show, I have no idea.
I'm glad that we didn't address either that. Like, you just addressed like very nicely. Matt likes Batman. It's not how it is on Undercity Chaos.
Oh no.
Who's your favorite superhero? Oh, mine's Superman. Wrong. Batman. Like, that's supposedly me. And people actually started throwing it in my face. They're like, wrong, Batman. And I'm like, I didn't even say
but
it.
You know
why
what,
am I being
You know
judged?
What happens, though? Like, we all do that. Like, you carry a different persona into that podcast with you. Like, that's your character for the week. And, like, I kind of do that where I'm very, like people who know me in real life, I'm very sarcastic, very, very. But I don't bring that here because I'm trying to, like, get somebody to have a conversation.
They're trying to be like, he's a really nice guy. Yeah. Deep down inside, no.
No, I'm not. I'm not. I'm kind
You're
of.
You're a mean one.
Kind of a. Thank
Mr.
you.
Grinch.
I'm kind of a jerk. But you definitely see. If you want to see that side of me, listen to Rat House Productions,
yes.
Under City Chaos.
Hopefully we'll be able to create soon this umbrella that we want of podcasts. So if you have any great ideas, you're really passionate about it, you know, you can obviously pitch it my way or his way. It doesn't matter. If you're friends of his, if you listen to his podcast, you have something to say.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, as is Facebook, we have our Facebook.
Most of the people I talk to will not even come on my show because they're like, oh, I don't know what I would talk about. Like, but it's easy. You just sit down and start talking.
Talk about bowel movements.
Oh, dude, we could talk. I'm going to start a bowel movement podcast.
It just has sound effects. Did it sound like this one?
It's going to be called Taking the Browns to the Super Bowl.
Not dropping the kids off at the pool.
That's horrible. That's the most toilet joke I've ever done on this joke, but it's pretty awesome. Sometimes you have to. So let me get your recommendations real quick, Matt.
Yes.
Then we're going to wrap up. We're going to have our final thoughts. We're going to give you a couple minutes. So give me one. We call this, I don't know, your top five, whatever. What am I doing?
Well, we have to do like some Instagram stuff. So
I'm doing Instagram.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, I'm taking pictures. This is good radio.
I don't know why you couldn't just do it like while the question was
being
asked.
Good radio. So, number one.
Yes.
Is there a movie out there or a TV show right now that you would recommend?
Yes. One of the most beautiful movies I've ever seen, and it's going to sound really out there, but I highly suggest it. It's called XY, and it takes place in Argentina. And it is about this girl who's about 13. And she is a hermaphrodite. And they invite this family over. Originally, you think they're just friends of the family, but you find out that it's a doctor that's going to, you know, fix the problem.
Uh-huh.
So she has to decide that weekend whether she wants to be, you know, what she is now, or if she wants to, you know, be a woman. And it's this... It's this just crazy movie. It's crazy emotions, crazy issues that you see with it, and you really see the other side. And it's beautiful. I've seen it several times, and a lot of people are like, "That's disgusting. Why would you want to watch that?" It's part of life. You have to understand. You're gifted if you have your junk, and you're supposed to have your junk, or if you have your stuff, and you're supposed to have your stuff, because other people don't have that.
Yeah.
Some people, it just happens. So highly suggest seeing it. It is a beautiful, if you want like an artsy movie, I guess it's kind of artsy. But that's my number one movie to go to. It's one of my favorite movies that's very underrated. A lot of people don't even know about it. So highly suggest it's called XY.
All right. Next, are there, okay, well, we know what you're going to do here. I always say book or magazine, but if you want to do a comic, that's fine.
My favorite book of all time, and every single person I have suggested it to reads it at least 5 or 6 times, Jurassic Park, believe it or not.
You know what's funny? I was just watching – Jurassic Park is a good book, Michael Crichton. But if you have Amazon Prime, it's not on Netflix. If you have Amazon Prime, I don't know if you have it. There's a movie called Westworld, and it was Michael Crichton's first – it was the first movie, I think. No, I think Andromeda Strain was first. But Westworld is written by Michael Crichton, and it's an amusement park where people spend like $1,000, and they can be in one of three worlds. Westworld, which is where you're in the Old West for a week, so these robots inhabit. So if you're going to be a badass gunfighter, there's these robots that will come and challenge you, and you just gun them down.
That's sick.
Then there's medieval world, and then there's Roman world. What do you think happens?
It all goes wrong.
That's right. Knowing Michael Crichton, the robots go nuts and start killing people, like That's hunting awesome. People down. And so check it out. If you like Jurassic Park, check it out.
No. This is the problem, though, is that the only thing the movie has in common is that people go to a park that has dinosaurs.
You know what? I had a real problem with the movie at first because I didn't like the fact that they made the girl in the book and the girl in the movie so wimpy. In the book, she's the computer genius.
Okay, what it is that...
No, she's not. She's not the genius.
Tim is. Tim is actually the older brother in the book, and Kelly is the younger sister.
But she's not totally wimpy. She's like
she's a little challenger.
Yeah.
But they switch it around in the movie. So that, as you could tell, just that alone is a big issue. If you just want to dip your toes real quick, there's a specific chapter because they go between like it'll be like park, computer control room. There's one chapter and it's the only chapter called this. It's called Destroying the World, and it is only about 5 or 6 pages. Read that. Look it up. Just read that little chapter. I guarantee you will want to read the whole book after you read
Crichton's
that
a great writer because he was a doctor, and so he's got that style where he's kind of
timeline, disclosure, all his books. I love him. Another book I would suggest, I did not like The Da Vinci Code, but I loved Angels and Demons. I did not watch the movie in full, but the movie's kind of dead on. But the book, front to back, nonstop, great.
All right. Music. What do you got music wise?
Music, if you're...
What are you listening to right now?
If you are into post-rockish, hardcore-ish, indie, there is an amazing band called Touche Amour. And they are just one of the most beautiful bands I've ever heard. They're very poetic, very amazing. They have their really dark stuff. They have their really light stuff. They have their really fast stuff. They have their really slow stuff. It's this beautiful combination of like everything. If you really like rock music, highly suggest Touche Amour. Other than that, Elliot Smith, but I do suggest, and I warn everybody when I tell them about Elliot Smith. Homeboy killed himself. He has had like 8 or 9 albums. He actually lost against Celine Dion for My Heart Will Go On. He performed at the... Is that the Emmys?
I don't remember.
Well, what's the music one?
Grammys.
Performed at the Grammys because he actually did Miss Misery, which is the song for Good Will Hunting.
Oh, okay.
And he did most of the songs. He did most of the songs for Good Will Hunting. And he put his heart into his music. And, you know, unfortunately, because he felt people didn't appreciate it, he ended up taking his own life. So if you're going to listen to him, either put your whole heart into it. If you like one song, listen to his whole discography because that's what he would have wanted. If not, do not listen to him at all. Do not touch him. Leave him the hell alone. That is literally what I tell people. And people are like, really? And most people that listen to him, kid you not, they try to find everything they can from him.
Stick to your Celine Dion, you freaking...
And because of that, that is one reason I hate Titanic. The other is because it's too damn long. Anyways, next question.
You know what? I have a problem with Titanic because I thought LA Confidential should have won that year, and Titanic beat it, and I thought Titanic was just a piece of... Let's not talk about it. That was my first problem.
You should watch How It Should Have Ended with the Titanic one. It's freaking hilarious. She jumps back on. He's like, what are you doing, Rose? She's like, I love you. He's like, we barely met this week.
Right?
Now we're going to die together?
Right.
So why? If you could have just stayed on the boat, you would have been able to come back and save me. Now I probably have to give you some piece of furniture while I freeze my butt off in the water and die. She's like, what did you say? He's like, nothing, Rose, nothing. And they end up going into the water. It's hilarious.
Oh, I love it. My wife and I still say, this is where we first met is one of the worst lines ever. Because the ship is going down. That's the last thing you're going to say.
There's no place you could have really met elsewhere. It's like, you would have said anywhere on the ship, you would have, this is where you first met. Yeah, it's where you're also going
to
die.
Yeah,
too.
That's it. I'm looking around trying to see who I could use as a flotation device at that point. All right, number four. I'm looking at your phone here, but do you have an app or piece of technology or?
Yes.
What is it, buddy?
Record player.
What is that?
It's what you put 7 inches and 12 inches on and you play it and it goes round and round.
Yeah, I have one right over there. I have a turntable right over there.
Oh my gosh. Honestly, records are the best thing in the world. I love records with a passion. I collect records.
You hipster.
Believe it or not, I have a whole bunch of Elliott Smith. Love Elliott
Smith.
Well,
let me ask you a question. Where do you go to get your records?
I think it's called Lovell's.
Oh, Lovell's in Uptown.
Lovell's in Uptown. Of course, Amoeba Records. Who can't do Amoeba?
I am wearing a record shirt from Al's record. Al's is no longer there. Al's was on Comstock, but Al's was started by a guy who used to work at Lovell's.
Nice.
And it was only vinyl. And it was there for about 3 years. It was a great little record store. And when Uptown Whittier was in one of its cycles and it started getting hip again,
they
raised the rent on them and like drove them out.
Dang.
And it was a great little record store, man. And it reminds me of Undercity in that you had all these dudes that were passionate about records just hanging out in there.
That's awesome. There's only one other place I shop though. That's Radiation Records, and that's over in Fullerton. But that's more for my punk rock stuff.
Let me give you a little hint. Look it up online. I think it's on, I don't know what street. It might be on Lakewood Boulevard in Long Beach. There's Bagatelle Records.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about that other one where that Snoop Dogg did the music video in front of.
Bagatelle Records. Bagatelle. It is, you literally, you got to put on gloves and like a breath mask in there because there's like a dust mask because it's dusty. It's like just a pile of records that you have to dig through. But you'll
try and find your random treasure.
You'll find some stuff. And it's like the last place that's still like that the internet hasn't killed off. Bagatelle Records. So number five, your recommendation for number five, brother, is a wild card. Whatever you want to recommend. Is there anything else you want to recommend to our listeners out there? Podcasts.
Obviously, our own podcast. No.
No, that's fine.
I couldn't do that. Honestly, the
let me ask
video,
you. The...
I'll go video game route. I highly suggest Dante's Inferno. It is for Xbox 360, and it is based off of the book Inferno, and
by Dante.
By Dante, yes, and
who was also in Clerks.
Yes, but wrong kind of Dante. I suggest that video game. I do suggest, if you're going to do comics, big Star Wars guy. This big
yes!
guy here got me to collect Dark Horse's Star Wars, which takes place in at the very end of A New Hope and bridges the gap between A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back.
Episode 7 just dropped this week. It is $2.99.
Issue 7.
What did I say?
Episode 7.
Episode 7.
It's Star Wars.
It's Star
Wars.
It's issue 7. There's a picture of Darth Vader, not drawn by Alex Ross, did the first couple of covers, and they were awesome. Unfortunately, he's not doing it. I think they have Alex Ross variants, but I don't think Sue's carrying them. But,
ooh. One last thing I do suggest. I suggest a graphic novel. If you're barely getting into comics and whatnot, I do suggest this series of graphic novels. It's called Gotham Central. It actually takes place behind Gotham PD. So you find out the struggles that they have to go through having corrupt cops, through having the night shift guys, the day shift guys, how the communication is between them. And Gordon is actually not in the picture now. So it's this amazing comic. It's won several awards. Highly suggest that, as well as Fables. So hop on any comic that you can right now, because honestly – Renee said it best. If you get the world's greatest writer and the world's greatest artist and you throw them into a room together, they will come out with a comic. It is beautiful literature. If you love movies, if you love reading, if you love art, it has all three. It's technically a giant script. Not only that, if you love soap operas, unfortunately, it's a soap opera.
Yeah. Especially some of them. Like, they all are. They really all are. But like some of them take it. Some of them take the soap opera angle and embrace it and run with it, like Fables.
Yes.
Fables is unabashed, and thanks to Sue, we're reading that. And now my wife's into comic. Well, I wouldn't say she's into it, but she's definitely reading Fables, so that's awesome. Okay, Matt, we're going to wrap it up.
All right.
Thank you for coming on.
Thank
you. It's been awesome.
You guys definitely head on to, if you can, facebook.com/RatHouseProduction. That's RATT.
I was just going to say, tell us where we can reach you. RATT.
RATTHAUSPRODUCTIONS.
Rathouse. What do you have? We have a new Instagram?
We do have an Instagram. It is Rathouse Production. So go ahead and hashtag us on that. Whenever you come on, you can do that. Or if you want something for us to look at Rathouse Productions.
And we're also on Twitter.
We are on Twitter. That is at Rathouse. That's RATTHAUS. So we are the only ones. No one has taken our screen name. We are at Rathouse.
Beautiful. As always, you can reach us on via Facebook at our Facebook page, facebook.com/soupcomplex, S-O-U-P complex. We're also on Twitter. Twitter handle is soupcomplex as well. Or you can write to us directly at superioritycomplexshow@gmail.com. That is one long email address, but it's worth it. I think I've gotten one email since the show started.
Actually, yeah, you could email us too. That's RATTHAUSPRODUCTIONS2013@gmail.com.
That is even longer. Why are you trying to get the last word in?
I'm not. I swear it. I just forgot that we had an email because nobody uses it.
Well, you let me close this one out.
Gosh,
all right.
I'll let kidding. You. There you go, man.
You know what? You know what? Why don't you take us out?
What? You want me to do it under City Chaos?
No, status? You take it out. We'll take it out with. I know you listen, so what's my famous sign off? Blank stare. He doesn't listen, the son of a bitch. All right. Folks,
at least I looked it up on Podbean.
For Matt the Rat.
I'm going to have to listen to it now, obviously, because I'm on it.
For Matt the Rat, for Rat House Productions, for Flick Dicks, for the...
Undercity Chaos.
Undercity Chaos. For the... What's the other one? The Regrets. For all of those... For the Superiority Complex. For Ricky the Dog. For everybody out there, we all say, as we say every week, say it with me, Matt, our famous sign-off. This transmission ends.
Meow.